that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers. 30 years ago, I was given a precious gift. The gift was given following a pastoral visit in which a woman mentioned that she had written a journal entry about her first time in worship in our church. With some trepidation, not knowing what it might hold, I tentatively asked if she would sometime give me a copy, which sometime later she did. She gave me the copy about 9 months later on the day she joined the church. In a moment, I'm going to read you the journal entry. I have permission to do so, and I have done so in other, mostly teaching settings. The author died 2 years ago after many years, decades of faithful service and membership in that church. She was an individual, a real person, very different, somewhat zany, a hoot. She led for decades the church's bell choir, properly nicknamed Hell's Bells. I bring her journal entry because for her, finding a place and a way to worship, a church family to love, and a church home to enjoy was simple salvation, connection, empowerment, meaning, belonging, the alphabet of grace, and the winning experience of love. Have you found a church family to love and a church home to enjoy? Have you found a burning fire, a hearth before which to warm, to wonder, to pray, to pause, to listen, to learn? This past week, with one son and one son-in-law, we sat before a beautiful hearth and a roaring fire. Let me add that both son and son-in-law are solid citizens, if I may, the former a hiker and camper, an attorney and church lay leader, the latter a PhD from Princeton, a senior minister, and an Eagle Scout. They know, that is, about fires, starting and feeding and tending them, is what I mean. Yet in that evening, one asked, is this fire real or is it gas-fed? Because the fire was so well built, two logs by two logs by two logs by two logs, and because it burned so cleanly in the venerable hearth, a kind of perfected beauty, it did resemble what has become, sadly, the norm in public hearths, gas, not wood. So the question, I am emphasizing, was not out of place. But the fire was real. I had been there earlier to see it built and lit and fed. And I am more aged than they. I have age, more winters on the back, more time spent around fires and their building and their feeding. And with you, I love a beautiful hearth and a roaring flame in it. The fire was for real. Yet, the next morning, the other asked again, is it really for real? Come and see, was all I could say. And come and see is all I say today for this New Year's Day sermon. That fire you admire, that worship service burning and blazing, which you hear over the radio or on the internet, or which you admire from afar, or which someone has told you about, it is for real. Come and stand a little closer. You will feel it. Your life needs it, demands it, requires it, and will open up in warmth before such a sturdy fireplace. Come and see. Kings to the brightness of his rising did come long ago to worship. To worship. Somewhere. Do you have a church family to love and a church home to enjoy? It need not be this one, but somewhere. Have you no 2017 resolution? Here is one. Go to church. Why? For the mystery of the burning fire, for its beauty and warmth, for its darkness lit by the licking flames, for its allure, its millennia-old draw, its gathered people, for the different women and men whom you will find, a group not a part of your extended family, not a part of your familiar neighborhood, not a part of your workplace, not a part of your cyber network. A woman, hymnal in one hand and baby in the other, rocking in the fourth pew right here on Christmas Eve, singing the carols. A man alone in the balcony, wrestling off the dark difficulties of life. A wonderful, colorful family with squirming children. A widow grieving, whose grief is unlike any other, as every grief is unlike any other. A preacher trying for both honesty and kindness, both truth and love. A choir giving it their all the time. A table set as today with remembrance, thanksgiving, and presence, faith, hope, and love. You don't believe? Remember what John Wesley said to his young preachers. Preach it until you believe it, and then preach it because you believe it. Worship until you believe it, and then worship because you believe it. It will come over time. Believe me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And guess what? If this is your 2017 resolution, you've already started to live it. Here you are today, or listening by the internet and radio, or seated in the pew, or wandering the back rooms, narthex, hallways, and byways of the chapel. Have you no 2017 resolution? Here is one. Go to church, as 30 years ago one did so. Journal entry, Sunday, September 13th, 1987. Boy, I'm feeling some mixed up feelings today. Sort of upset with Carolyn because she led me to believe she was going to church and I would meet her at Plymouth Church. However, she changed her mind. I wasn't sure what to do, like I was all alone and I couldn't go to church now because I didn't have anyone to go with. I didn't know what to do next. I felt real confused. So I called Jean, like she's going to tell me what I should do or go to church somewhere with me so I won't feel so alone. God, I'm really dependent. I almost hoped and suggested going out to breakfast instead of church. God, I'm a victim. Looking for someone to blame if I miss church. Back to the feelings that I'm trying to avoid thinking about. They shock me, and I find it hard to name them. Loneliness, fear, uncertainty, inadequacy. I went to Irwin Methodist Church alone. I felt quiet inside and rather separate. And I wanted to be alone with my own thoughts, even though I wanted to enter into corporate worship. I drove up, and I found I was a half hour early. Again, I couldn't make a decision about what to do next. So I started to drive around aimlessly. Maybe I should head for the grocery store. Nope, too far, no money. I guess I was trying to get out of going to church. I began to feel some anxiety about going alone into a new situation. So I turned the car around and I came back home with plans to walk to church, which I did. I saw a lot of elderly people going in and one young woman with a young child in her arms coming from the parking lot. I felt scared, really unsure of myself going into an unfamiliar situation. I saw a lady with weird shades of reddish in her dress and shoes that didn't match the dress. I felt less self-conscious about my new all-weather coat not matching my umbrella. like maybe I would fit in there okay, even though I was afraid I wouldn't. Even the fact that it was a Methodist church and I know how to be a Methodist didn't make me feel any more secure, or rather any less insecure. But I went inside. A nice man greeted me and said he was the unofficial greeter. I would need to see Mabel or Nellie or whoever to be greeted officially. The two ladies were also warm and nice, but not overly so. I felt afraid that someone would ask me my name, so I sat way down front after the usher handed me a bulletin and let me find my own seat. I wonder, did I give off vibes of wanting to be solitary or of feeling solitary? I really didn't want to touch anyone else's life at this time. I listened to the music and really enjoyed that. I wished I could play that well ever. I thought about James Street Methodist and how much I missed it. I wondered why I wasn't crying. I wondered what the pastor would look like and how he would preach. Thoroughly enjoyed the service. Especially enjoyed the familiar feeling I had. I felt safe, but still separate. I felt frightened that they would do the turn around and shake hands bit. They did not. When the pastor talked about visitors who might be there, I felt he was looking at me because everybody always notices when there's an unfamiliar face in the crowd. Anyway, I was afraid he was going to ask me to stand up and give my name, but he did not. Then I felt a twinge of disappointment, like I wanted someone to draw me out or to want to know me or to force me to extend myself. I find I'm more comfortable reaching out to newcomers, but I'm real uncomfortable when I'm the newcomer. For all my striving to be different, I guess I just want to be one of the fish. As the choir came in, I thought about what it might be like to sing in that choir and whether I would be received or welcomed or rejected, both my voice and my person. I felt that they were probably really good singers and would reject me. I almost felt like rejecting them before they could reject me. The sermon was extremely good. It stretched my mind and my spirit. I wanted to say that to the pastor, but I was afraid that if I talked with him, he would ask my name and address and try and get too familiar. Before the sermon even started, I began to worry about whether I could exit after church without connecting with anyone. I just wanted to be really anonymous or incognito or whatever. So I settled down and I listened to the sermon after deciding to stay and not leave before the service was even finished. What a sermon! This man's mind is like a well-rounded course curriculum. He has a way of connecting disparate topics. One state I remember was, Tina Turner needs to learn from Mother Teresa. And he said things like, turn off the Jeffersons and take the dog for a walk. His sermon was about the senses of prayer and was interesting, and I found myself feeling too unknowledgeable to grasp all of it and also challenged by the thought processes. After the service ended, I was thinking about how I could get out without anyone trying to talk with me individually. I wanted someone to try to engage me in conversation, and I wanted to be left alone, both at once. I decided to avoid eye contact. Then I glanced around and found that no one was trying to catch my eye. I was also trying to delay the final encounter at the outside door with the pastor or anyone else out there shaking hands. Well, I did shake hands with the man who lit the candles, and I shook hands with the pastor and complimented him on his sermon. He'd said he didn't catch my name on the way in, and only then did I realize that he was the unofficial greeter I had met when I arrived. I told him my name, and I left. I felt good walking home, and noticed people on the street said hello to me. and I was able to smile and speak to them. I felt good walking home and noticed people on the street said, "Hello," and I was able to smile and speak to them. Addendum, membership, letter of transfer, June 5th, 1988, 9 months later. That through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers.